Genoa.
This is Yusuf.
This is
In Flight Entertainment, the Quarantine Throwback Episodes. What's going on, everyone?
Happy Thursday.
Happy Thursday. Hope everyone is staying safe and chilling. We're highlighting some sports throwback, you know, sports films, because, you know, we can't really partake in sports right now, which kind of sucks.
Right. And so last week we did baseball, and this week we are doing basketball.
Yep. Street basketball. L.A. street basketball, to be exact. Yeah, right on the sunny beaches, the sunny beach courts, if you want to call it.
Yes. That. So we're exploring the 1992 world where white men can't jump, and two basketball hustlers join forces to double their chances of winning money on the street courts of Los Angeles.
Oh, yes. Yes, white men can't jump. This is came out spring of 1992. Let's see, now 1992. So the shows we were watching in 1992, going from 5 to 1, is Your Girl the Murderer, Murder, She Wrote. that was number 5. Murphy Brown's number 4. Home Improvement's number 3. See, Roseanne was number 2, and 60 Minutes was number 1. People wanted to get informed in 1992. And the top song of 92, I thought this came out in 94, was Mr. Big, Be With You. Remember that?
Yep.
I don't know, I never want to be with you. I don't know the rest of it, but I do remember that.
Yeah. I think 92 was also the big first year for grunge. So I definitely was not listening to Mr. Big. I was convincing. So last week I talked about everyone was doing the New Kids on the Block because it was 89. This week, 92, we fast forward 3 years. Now grunge has hit the airwaves, and I was convincing my friends to listen to Pearl Jam and Nirvana. And I've definitely had friends reach out to me and thank me many years later for introducing them to those bands way back then. So,
yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
I convinced them to walk away from New Kids.
Yeah, no, the grunge was definitely, definitely a lot more substance than New Kids. Sorry, New Kids. And New Kids fans. But, you know. Yeah, give me Nirvana. Hold on. Did Alice in Chains come out of the West Coast?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. That was my band right there. I mean, I loved all of them, but Alice in Chains, man. Like, yeah. They had a good album. That was 92. Now in Chicago, they had this alternative radio station, Q101.1, and that's all they played. It was just like alternative. Of course, Smashing Pumpkins was like the de facto, you know, rotation because, you know, that's Chicago. But then you had, you know, Pearl Jam, Nine Inch Nails, and you had Stone Temple Pilots. Yeah, pretty much, you know. It like 24/7 they would play all grunge. That was a glorious time. And everyone that listened to some like, you know, alternative, like Q101 was the jam in Chicago. Yeah.
This movie, White Men Can't Jump, came out right around spring break of 92. So the big spring break song was Baby Got Back.
Oh, yeah. Oh, wow. Did Sir Mix-a-Lot like plan that? I think he probably plans, like, okay, I think I should release this right before spring break.
Yeah, and also Criss Cross Jump. So,
Yeah, and that was 92. Wow, that's what everyone was wearing their clothes backwards.
Yeah. So that's what was happening in 92. What was happening with the movie White Men Can't Jump?
All right, so this film reunites Wesley Snipes, Woody Harrelson. The reason why I say reunites because before we started recording this episode, me and General was talking about Wildcats. They were in Wildcats together with Goldie Hawn. It was actually, was it a high school football movie? It wasn't college. They were in high school.
It was high school.
Yeah. I mean, and none of those actors look like they've been in high school. They look like they're all about to graduate college.
Yeah, it was the oldest looking high school football team you've ever seen.
Yes, exactly. So it stars Woody Harrelson, Wesley Snipes, Rosie Perez, Kadeem Hardison from A Different World fame. He was Dwayne Wayne in A Different World. So that's kind of like your principal characters in this particular film. Now, this film was directed by Ron Shelton. He's known for Bull Durham, another kind of sports film. 10 Cup. Man, he did quite a few.
He does a lot of sports movies.
Yeah, so I say right. But he definitely he threw his old like flavor into his sports films. In so many ways, he subvert a lot of things within, I guess, the sport that he tackles. But I have to mention this particular film that he did in 2002, which is personally my favorite film of that year. It was called Dark Blue. It starred Kurt Russell in one of his best performances to date. I highly recommend people check out Dark Blue. Amazing film. But anyway.
Wait, what is it about? It sounds familiar.
It starred Kurt Russell and pretty much the movie takes place a week before the Rodney King verdict, and Kurt Russell is a L.A. detective.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's so good. Like I said, one of my favorite films. It was criminally overlooked, but just amazing film. But anyway, so back to some b-ball action. all right. So the movie opens up on Venice Beach, right? You know, kind of like the nice, breezy, airy, scene of Venice Beach, as you always see, you know, palm trees and, you know, rollerbladers and, you know, people, you know, singing and stuff on the street. And we see Woody Harrelson coming in the frame as, you know, his name is Billy. You know, we have his basketball. He's bright eyed and he's like, he's so excited, you know, like that he's in Venice Beach and, you know, he's kind of chilling out. It seems like it's like really early in the morning before people are actually out. He's getting to jump on, you know, the area, so to speak.
Yeah.
And then we get into the day in the courts, the day in the life of like the basketball courts of Venice Beach, which involves a lot of playing and a lot of shit talking. Lots of shit talking.
If you want a yo mama joke, this is the movie for you.
Yes. And a lot of, you know, talking about each other. Yes. you know, it's funny. Like, when I seen this movie back in 92, I didn't see it in theaters, but I rented it at Blockbuster. And you know, so I watched it. And it's so uncanny. Just the street basketball culture across the United States. I mean, that scene could have taken place on the south side of Chicago and it would still been the same banter, like the same like jokes, everything. Because it was all about, you know, the ego. It's all about showing off your skills. It's all about, you know, being the alpha within the game and all that stuff. I mean,
right. So that is an ongoing argument between Woody's character and Wesley's character, is that the white dude's like, I'm just here to win. I'm not here to showboat or talk. and all the black players are out there to showboat, and winning is second. So that's an ongoing trash talking between the two of them.
Yeah, definitely. And so, of course, Wesley Snipes is like just your egotistical, like, basketball player. You know, everyone knows him. You know, everyone gets irritated because he is good. I mean, he do show you up. He do outplays you, and you know, he constantly shit talks. He's like, oh, you know, it's hard work looking this good. Oh, I'm too good. I'm too good. I'm too good. You know. And so the guy that's on the opposite team, you know, he's all like, oh, you found me. I'm sitting down. And so, you know, Wesley looks at Billy that's, you know, kind of sitting, just looking, just an onlooker. And he tells, hey, you know, you're going to play for the other team. We just need 1 point. We just need a body. Just go over there to the other team. You know, let me win this really quick and we out of here. Things turn quickly because Billy shows some skills and the opposing team wins. And so they kind of get into a little spat, and Billy's like, okay, well, hey, how about you put your money where your mouth is? You know, let's do a shoot off, so to speak. And, you know, and this way you kind of see the psychological warfare fair within street basketball. Kind of going, you know, kind of like, because Billy is getting into Wesley's head, you know, about like, hey, you know, if I win, you get beat twice by a white chump, you know. So it's like your ego won't allow that. So that's going to throw you off your game, so to speak. That's kind of what he's telling Wesley, but you know, he don't believe it. And Wesley missed the shot, so he loses. So he gets pissed off.
Right. And so that's when Billy, who's played by Woody Harrelson, wins the money, and he can, it's basically like his job is to being a street hustler.
Yeah.
And same thing with Sydney, who's played by Wesley Snipes.
Mm-hmm.
Damn. So Billy heads home, where we meet his girlfriend, Gloria, who's played by Rosie
Perez.
Yeah, and we find out, like, her character's entire world is studying to be on Jeopardy.
Yeah. And it took me rewatching this film, living in Los Angeles, is where I like really got this movie. Like, this is like when I really grasped this film. You know, like, someone studying to get on Jeopardy. I was like, yeah, we know someone that was on Jeopardy.
I know a couple people that have been on Jeopardy. Yeah.
So that's not like a crazy out there thing to do. It actually happened. yeah. So Sydney follows Billy to their motel, and you know, Sydney had his proposition. Like, hey, you know, why don't we run the course together? You know, we can split the money. You know, we could do this hustle. Yeah.
Right. Because no one expects a white guy to actually be good at street basketball, especially with how Billy comes dressed for everything. He's always sort of, he looks like Opie. And
and they call him Opie.
Yeah. His baggy neon clothes and his hat on backwards. It's just, he looks like your typical Midwest tourist, which he kind of is.
Mm.
Westerners, not mid. He looks like your typical tourist that's just over there to watch basketball.
Mm-hmm.
And so he looks like an easy mark for someone to call as a backup player to destroy.
All right, exactly. Yeah, and so we see the first kind of jump off of the hustle. So, you know, Billy is just chilling, you know, on the benches, and Sydney's like, hey, you know, pick anybody out here to be my partner. Anybody, you know, they see, of course they see Billy like, yeah, Billy, like give him the white boy. Yeah, the white boy. You know, and so they play off like they don't know each other, Billy and Sydney. Of course, that's part of the hustle. And so, you know, he's like, what's your name? Oh, it's Billy. Okay, Billy, well, this is how we do it. Blah, 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 blah. They play. And so they end up with, okay, so the first hustle, they're playing against kind of like this hood, like this tall kind of hood dude. Yeah. And he was going to put up the money, but he didn't have enough money. He's like, okay, I'll be right back. So he walks around the corner. He walks around the corner, throw on the ski mask. He gets a gun from his glove compartment. And he goes to the liquor store, trying to rob the liquor store. But he knows the liquor store owner. And, you know, and the liquor store owner is like, boy, like, put that gun down, man. What you doing? And, you know, he tells him, hey, I'm hustling these people up the street. You know, I need some money. And that's all. I was like, I ain't give you no money. And then the hood is like, hey, I sell you this gun. There's a lot of crazy motherfuckers out here. You're going to need a gun. So he sells the liquor store owner the gun. So I mean, this is just a subversion of scenes in this movie. It's just, I mean, just well written. Like, yeah. This is what you think, okay, he's gonna rob the liquor store. He end up selling the gun to the liquor store owner, and boom, they point.
I mean, it's his neighborhood bodega. So yeah, of course the guy behind the counter knows exactly who he is.
Right. But the thing is, like, we didn't, like, the audience don't know. We thinking that he's just gonna rob somebody. But then bodega owner's like, What's it? I forgot his name. He's like, is that you? And he's like, no, that ain't me. You know, and so they hustling, and then the hood guy see that he's getting hustled, and he's like, okay, I'm gonna go get my other gun and shoot everybody out here, and everybody just scatters and runs, and but they won. They got the hustle. Then we see that Billy and Gloria is running from some debt collector, so to speak, the Stookie brothers. The Stookie brothers. So pretty much Billy, it was a fixed game, right? And Billy threw it.
That Billy played college basketball and he was supposed to fix a game. Similar to the Boston College 1992 team. Mm-hmm. He was supposed to fix his game, but he was so excited about winning and had to prove the other team wrong that he ended up winning. So now he has these gangsters after him.
Yeah. So that's kind of like the reason why Gloria and Billy is in LA. Now we kind of got more information on that. And so the second hustle, Sydney just isn't, he's not shooting. He's not playing defense and ended up losing all of like their money. Billy gets back to Gloria with, you know, his tail tucked between his legs. And, you know, he's like, man, I don't get it. You know, Sydney, he just wasn't playing defense. And of course, women is intuition. And that's what I love about this movie. She's like, you got hustled. Sydney hustled you. And she's like, we're going to get my money. Like, no. And so, you know, Billy is following Gloria on the bus and, you know, on Crenshaw. He's like, no, like, you know, there's a rule. You don't ask for the money back when you got hustled. That's just not proper hustling about it. So Gloria, you know, beats on the door and Sydney's wife answer and, you know, and Sydney tells, I'm sorry, Gloria tells Sydney's wife, hey, your husband took, you know, money from my husband and all that stuff. So they go into the apartment and Billy sees Sydney and the two teammates that, you know, beat them in quotes. So he sees like this big, he got suckered. And so they get into an argument in the front room. In the meantime, Gloria and Sydney's wife, and, you know, they're kind of, you know, getting to know each other a little bit, not a lot. And so they go to,
Like enough that they can can have a conversation and get a plan for how to direct their husbands for the next move to make sure they're making the money. Because we find out Sydney and his wife want to get out of the hood because they have a growing family. And so the only way to do that is to win big. And there's a big giant tournament coming up. And if they win that, I think they both get what?
Yeah, they split $5,000.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
They go play that tournament. They end up winning. But Billy is a degenerate. He doesn't know how to back down when someone challenges him. Mm-hmm. And as they are heading home, Sydney says Billy can't dunk a basketball. And so he says, I'll put up my 2,500 that says that I can. And of course, he goes out on the court and he can't because he's a white man, hence the title of the movie.
But you know what? He initiated that because Billy kept egging Sydney on because Sydney was like, look, you won your money. Like, don't be stupid. Go home to your girlfriend. Buy her a dress for Jeopardy. And then now Billy just kept insisting. It's like, oh, see, you know, y'all just like to look good and win second. We like to win second and look good. Sydney's like, okay, you know what? There's a court right there. There's a hoop. Go ahead. Like, you know, I bet you. Yeah, so he lose the money again.
Now he's in huge trouble with Gloria. So when he gets home, she says, it's over, I'm leaving. And now we have Billy moping around trying to figure out how to win back Gloria. And Sydney has a friend that works on Jeopardy. So they get Gloria on Jeopardy and she wins big.
Oh, yeah. The foods that start with the letter Q.
Yeah.
So hilarious. Love it. So they get back together. In the meantime, however, things are not well on Sydney's spot because his place got broke into and they pretty much took everything. So Sydney finds Billy. It's like, hey, you know, there's like two street legends called the King and Duck. Like, they're on the courts. And, Sydney tell Billy, hey, man, like, my place got robbed. Like, I need money. I need you. We need to play. We need to play King and Duck. I mean, we can get them. We can take them.
Billy's not one to back down from a challenge, especially when it's legendary basketball players. Mm-hmm. And Gloria gives him an ultimatum. You can go play basketball and lose the $2,500 I just gave you, or you can stay with me. And he picks basketball over her.
Yeah. And so, yeah, we see her rollerblading off and we never see her again. Yeah. And so kind of like the third act showdown basketball game, we finally see Billy jumping and making a dunk. A la alley-oop.
Yeah, so they actually lowered the basketball net pole, whatever, for him. I think standard is 10 feet, and they moved it down to 9 feet for him.
Yeah.
To make that.
Yeah, hey, you know, they made it work. And so the Stookies catch up with Billy at the end, but this time he finally have the money. And so he pays the Stookie brothers off. And now he's clear from that. and it looks like it ends like it's going to be the birth of like this legendary street ball, you know, duo. Yeah, like they're going to be the new King and Duck on the courts now. It kind of ends with them, of course, arguing and, throwing the basketball back and forth at each other. It's kind of like, all right, like the dysfunctional marriage begins type thing, you know.
So, yeah, I mean, it's like them playing basketball into the sunset. It's the equivalent of driving off into the sunset.
Yeah.
And as they do Yo Mama jokes at each other.
Exactly. Little known fact, did you know Denzel Washington was originally going to be Sydney?
No.
Yeah.
I'm glad they Wesley Snipes.
Yeah.
I don't know if he,
yeah.
In my mind he's too serious for this.
I know. I mean, like, his mama jokes would be, like, really serious mama jokes. I think he'll, like, have people crying, you know. Right. They think he's, like, serious. Yeah, that was funny. And Keanu Reeves, Charlie Sheen, and David Duchovny were considered for Billy.
I could see all of those people doing it.
Actually, David Duchovny would have been very interesting.
Yeah, he might be a bit too dry for the part, but I can see all of them doing it. But Woody Harrelson, actually, he did play, I think he played some college basketball, so
yeah,
he was actually ready for the part. But they did have someone on set helping them train to look like real basketball players.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, you could kind of tell how he was, you know, playing and kind of bouncing around the court that he had. Yeah, he had a little, like, you know, experience playing basketball, especially like he was doing his picks and stuff like that, which is interesting. Can you imagine Holly Hunter being Gloria?
Was the perfect casting for that.
Hey, you went in and out.
Oh, Rosie would have been, is a perfect casting for that.
Yeah. I'm trying to imagine Holly Hunter. It's glory. That was interesting. Yeah. It's Wesley Snipes was a great athlete, but not a great basketball player. Let's see. Practices before filming were held at Rancho Cienega Park from 9 a.m. to noon, 5 days a week for 4 weeks. Oh, wow. Consultant Rob Ryder said they worked with Snipes' limitations and fooled a lot of people. Oh, nice. Speaking of you saying your mama jokes, actually, every actor brought in their own your mama joke.
There you go.
Yeah. That's funny. They say the best your mama joke didn't make the cut, or else it would have been an NC-17 movie.
Of course.
And speaking of Jeopardy, Jeopardy used foods that start with the letter Q category 5 years later, 5 years after White Man Can't Jump was filmed.
But was it the exact same questions, or did they have new questions?
Yeah, they had new questions. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, and Stanley Kubrick was a fan of this film.
Well, see, there you go. So, what is our rating system?
As on the couch, that means it's an enjoyable couple hours, you know, to watch something to take your mind off of all the stuff outside. Putting your shoes on, contemplating going outside. I mean, that is meh. It's not great. It's not the best. Not the worst. Going outside. I'd rather go outside, you know, get shot by cops or get COVID before I sit down and watch this film. I give it this is a butt. This is a butt on the seat. I mean, butt on the seat. This is a butt on couch for me. I mean, between the banter, the street ball, I mean, the subversion of the actual sport of street ball, and actually almost the subversion of characters and their decisions. Because if it was kind of like your normal kind of battle book movie, Gloria would have got back with Billy and things would have been like, oh, okay, I see your mistake, and we could go. Like, she bounced. She's like, we're going in two separate directions, and like, I can't be with you, kind of thing. I mean, it was, yeah. I definitely give movie props on that. Yeah.
Okay. Definitely realistic in that aspect. It was fun watching it and actually living out here in Los Angeles and recognizing a lot of the areas where the different basketball courts were. So that was fun. I'm actually going to give it putting my shoes on. I don't know. It just, I could take it or leave it. Yeah. I think if I had something else to watch, I'd watch something else. Like Games Akimbo.
had, and definitely one of the funniest lines ever written in a movie, which is, you and the creamy wheat man better take your ass back to Mayberry and tell MB she better have my bean pies or I'm gonna kick her ass.
I do have to say, I quote this movie a lot at work, even though I gave it putting my shoes on. And the line that I always quote is the listening versus hearing.
Oh, yeah. You're not hearing Jimmy. Because,
well, yeah. And it's so funny because I'll be like, you're listening to me, but you're not hearing what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. Or I'll tell my team members that you're listening to what the other person is saying, but you're not hearing. Just like Billy and Sydney listening to Jimi Hendrix. And they're like, what the fuck are you talking about? The youngins don't get the reference anymore.
Yeah. See?
I can always tell if you're Gen X because they get the reference.
Yeah, see? I'm telling you, that's why it gets a butt down for me. References. Cool. So there you have it. White Man Can't Jump. If you haven't seen it, definitely give it a look. It's worth it. It's worth your wait. If you haven't seen it before, check it out. It's fun. It's fun shit, yeah, talking the movie.
It's on Amazon. You can rent it on Amazon or iTunes. So it's out there for you to find.
Yeah, totally. Sweet. All right, guys, so hang in there until next week. Until next week, well, we wish everyone safe physical distancing and
keep your mask on.
Yes, peace. Exotic to think it's on with the hypertone. I can't be blown because my rhymes are hard like stone. Don't prepare for the scare because I'm the one like me, punk. Could you?